Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gokulinath Sham Kun Radha Kun Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadeep Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Puri Ki Jai Gangamayi Ki Jai Jamanamayi Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Well, it's very nice to be back here from Kuwait, where I murdered three children who were made noise during my lecture. Let's do a mobile check. All mobiles, silent, silent. And today we're celebrating the Ram Vijayotsav. So let's see what's in Ram. Tasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Jalitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tadhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamalan, Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha, Shri Rupam Shagrajatam, Sahagana Agarnatam, Tam Stam Sajivam, Shadvaitam, Shavadhutam, Purjana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padam, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Dishakhan Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gokesha Gopita Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Holi Priye Vancha kopataru vyascha kripa sindhu vyayeva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnadevyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Parents are always more expert. The only kid who's really able to get away with mischief was Krishna. He got away with everything. Ram Adi Murti Shukala Niyame Natishtan Nana Avatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samabhava Paramam Pramanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamahan Pujam. Lord Brahma says, I worship Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears in various incarnations. Throughout the universe, he appears in different incarnations, Ramadi Murti Sukala. Ramadi, beginning with Ram. That can be taken in different ways. Ramadi, Lord Balaram is the first expansion from Krishna. From Lord Balaram comes the Chaturvyuha gradually, and finally the second Chaturvyuha down to the Purusha avatars, through whom the incarnations of Godhead appear in this universe. So Ramadi can be taken as to mean beginning with Balaram. Or we can take it Ramadi, because Lord Ram is very prominent among the incarnations. So we can take Ramadi to mean Lord Ram and other incarnations. You can read it either way you like. But Lord Ram is very prominent among the features, the incarnations, descents of Godhead. There's no difference between Ram and Krishna. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam adyam purana purusham navayomar. Advaita. There's no duality in the absolute truth. In the relative truth, there's always duality. But on the absolute platform, there's no duality. Eka brahma dvitiya nasti. It's not that there are many absolute truths. There's one absolute truth. Vedanti tat tat pavidas tat pam yajganam advayam. He's indivisible, non-dual, and one without a second. Eka brahma. There's only one. Generally, people think the Hindus are worshipping many gods. And even the Hindus think that the Hindus worship many gods. But according to Shastra, Eka Brahma, the absolute truth is one, dvitiya nasti, and there's no second. Then what is it that we're worshipping Ram, we're worshipping Nrisimha, someone is worshipping Ram, someone is worshipping Krishna, someone is worshipping Nrisimha, someone is worshipping Vamandev. What is this? It seems that they've all chosen different gods to worship. But from Shastra, it's the same God appearing in different features to perform his different pastimes. There's a nice verse quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Manir yata vibhagena nila pitadi bhir yutaha rupa bhedam avapnoti dhyana bhedat tatachuta. When the jewel known as Vaidurya touches various other materials, it appears to be separated into different colors, and consequently its forms also appear different. I once had a ring, I got it in South America, which, I forget what kind of stone it had, long time ago, very long time ago. But in one light it would appear bluish, and in another light it would appear reddish. I think yellow or red. Alexandrite, I think that's what the stone was. Doesn't tell us much, but that's what it was. Oh, look at that. You do a quick search. So that same stone, in different light, appeared to be of different colors. And there's a stone called Vaidurya, Vaidurya Mani. It has that same characteristic. Similarly, according to the meditational ecstasy of the devotee, the Lord, who is known as Achyuta, appears in different forms, although he is essentially one. Rupa bhedam avapnoti. He appears in different forms. He assumes different forms. Dhyana bhedat, according to the meditation of the devotee. Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstatayabhu bhajanyana. As one approaches the Lord reciprocates. So someone wants Krishna as a child, Krishna appears as a child. Someone wants Krishna as a friend, Krishna appears as a friend. Similarly, someone wants Krishna as a king, Krishna appears as a king. Someone wants Krishna as half lion, half man, Krishna appears as half lion, half man. According to the meditation of the devotee, according to the bhav, the feeling of the devotee, the Lord responds. The devotees have, just like Hanuman, he has such feeling for Lord Ramchandra. So he's always thinking of Lord Ram. Even though he knows about Krishna, but he still can't give up his devotion for Ram. He's sold out to Lord Ramchandra. That the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra are summarized also in Srimad Bhagavatam. There, the in the ninth canto, there's a Ramayana. Ramayana means narration of the pastimes of Lord Ram. The Mool Ramayana, original Ramayana, is Valmiki Ramayana. The sage Valmiki has written the authoritative description of the pastimes of Lord Ram. And there are also many other descriptions. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the ninth canto gives a summary description of Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. Just one chapter, one or two chapters, briefly. Otherwise it can be expanded and expanded. But briefly, the history is there, how Lord Ramchandra accepted exile in the forest, how he how his wife Sita Devi was stolen by Ravana, how he got word through the monkeys of where Sita had been taken, who had abducted her, and where she'd gone. And with their help, he began the campaign against Ravana. In the along the way, he meets Jatayu, who had tried to stop Ravana from abducting Sita, and who had sacrificed his life in the process. So Lord Ramchandra performed the funeral ceremony for him, and then he went to the ocean to head for Lanka. And he was fasting for 3 days and essentially expecting that the ocean personified would come before him. The ocean didn't come, so the Lord performed his pastimes of anger. His glance over the ocean became so hot that the crocodiles, the sharks, all the living beings in the ocean were starting to boil. Then they were agitated by fear. Then the ocean personified, yes, came before the Lord and fell at his feet. and offered some prayers to the Lord. Yes, you'll find it's 14th verse. Natvam vayam jaradiyo nuvidam abhuman kutastamari purusham jagatam adhisham yat sattvata suragana rajasa prajesha manyoscha bhuta pataya sabhavan guneshaha. The ocean admitted that you're one ahead, I think. Nine, 10, 14. There you are. The ocean admitted to being dull-minded. Jaradiya. Jaradiya means dull-minded. There, Prabhupada says, having a blunt intelligence. We didn't understand who you are. We thought, why do we have to listen to him? But now we understand that you're the Supreme Person, the master of the entire universe, the unchanging, original personality of Godhead. That's the actual identity of Lord Ramchandra. Not that he's a mythical. It's so bad, you hear politicians and people who are trying to appear pious, glorifying Lord Ram as one of the great mythological heroes of India. It's actually an insult, and they're thinking it's glorification. That Lord Ram is one of the great mythological heroes produced by Indian culture. This is rascaldom. This is their nonsense. The personality of Godhead is not a product of Indian culture, nor any other human culture. Rather, humanity, including India, America, Dubai, the whole cosmic manifestation, is a product of the personality of Godhead. Mahatpadam punyayashamura. The whole cosmic manifestation lies at his lotus feet. And still people are glorifying Lord Ram as a product of Indian civilization. This is an example of jaradhiya, dull-mindedness. Maybe from too much politics or something, their mind becomes dull for spiritual realization. Or too much education. They become so highly educated that they can't understand what is what. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur someplace writes that the progress of education makes one more and more like an ass. So these highly educated scholars, they can't accept such a simple thing as the omnipotent personality of Godhead. They have to make some complicated or explanation or some theoretical, symbolic explanation. Because we just can't accept Shastra at face value, you see. We have to be very intelligent. So the more they become very intelligent, the more they become jaradiya, fools. Mudhoyam na vijanati mame bhyam paramam. So one has to understand Lord Krishna, Lord Ram, not from the politicians, not from the cultural expounders, not from the impersonalists. It's so nice. India is the place where you can find the maximum number of ways to insult the personality of Godhead. Somebody says he's a great hero. Somebody says he's one of so many gods. That's also an offense. Yet pashandi bhavetrubam. Yastu narayanam devam brahmarudradi daivatai. Samatvenaiva vikshetah. Yet pashandi bhavetrubam. They think they're glorifying the Lord. He's one of so many gods. But actually, they're propounding rascal philosophy or atheistic philosophy, Pashandi. That's another offense to the Lord, to think that the Lord and the demigods are on the same level. Or avyaktam vyaktim apanyam manyante mam abhutaya, another foolishness. To think that the Lord is ultimately or originally impersonal. From the supreme impersonal Godhead come these lesser manifestations of Saguna Brahma, or the absolute truth with form. This is the philosophy of abhutaya, the less intelligent people, parampava majanato, who don't understand the personality of Godhead and his supreme nature. How does form come from something formless? That they can't explain. But rather, the supreme form, incompletely understood, seems formless. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that you see a train. From a distance, it's just a light. Then it gets closer, you start to see that it's a train. Then you get up close, you see there are cars, there are people sitting in the cars. It's the same train, but from three angles of vision. Or a mountain. From a distance, it's just like a cloud. You get up closer, you start to see there's forests, there's trees, there's rivers. And if you actually go to the mountain, you'll see all the details, the leaves, the trees, each individual manifestation. So the personality of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth is only the personality of Godhead, vaguely encountered. Vaguely encountered. When he's encountered intimately, then he's realized as the personality of Godhead. But meanwhile, the impersonalists are deriding the Lord. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanamashritam. Because he appears like a king, he appears like a coward boy, he appears like a man. So they deride him. Oh, he's just a king, he's just a man. They deride him. And they're very, want to make a big deal of saying he has no hands, he has no legs, he has no eyes, he has no form, he has no this. Prabhupada says that they're committing multiple insults. Like if I say that you have no eyes, that means I'm saying you're blind. If I say you have no ears, that means you're deaf. If I say you have no mouth, that means that you're dumb. If I say you have no legs, that means you're crippled. So in all of these ways, they're glorifying the personality of Godhead. He's blind, he's deaf, he's dumb, he's crippled. And they think this is their glorification of the Absolute. So in so many ways, people misunderstand the personality of Godhead. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita muto yam nabijananti. All right, let's do another mobile check for the newcomers. All mobiles. Bhagavad Gita. Thank you. Muto yam nabijananti. If that ring were the Hare Krishna mantra, by now the whole world would be enlightened. The mudhoyam, the persons who are just like animals, jaradiya, don't understand. Then the ocean says, mine is frozen. It happens sometimes. So I'll read your copy. No, previous verse.
little higher. Give me the Sanskrit. I'll reboot. Yat sattvata suragana rajasa prajesha manyoscha bhuta pateya sabhavan grunesha. The suragana, the demigods, are affected by the mode of goodness. And prajesha, the prajapatis, are influenced by the mode of passion. And Bhutapati, the lord of the ghosts, is also influenced by the tamagun. But Lord Ramchandra is Gunesha, the master of the three modes of material nature. Lord Shiva is almost on the level of the personality of Godhead, but because he's the controller of tamagun, he's slightly influenced, slightly affected by the touch of the tamagun. He's not in tamagun, but he's slightly influenced by the touch of tamagun, just as milk touched by a sour substance is subtly changed so that it becomes yogurt. Now we can go. Let's see the purport. Okay. We can go to the next verse. Kamam prayahi jahi vishrabaso vameham trilokya ravanam avapnuhi virapatnim badnihi setumiha te yashaso vitatyai gayanti dig vijayano yamupecha bhupa. Kamam prayahi. You can come, you can cross my water as you like. The ocean surrendered. Just as in the pastimes of Lord Balaram in Vrindavan, the Jamuna surrendered. Not Vrindavan, Hastinapur. Lord Balaram wanted to bathe in the Jamuna, and she wasn't coming. She was thinking that Lord Balaram is like an intoxicated person. So then, no, I have that wrong. That was a different time. This time, he was threatening to drag the whole Hastinapur into the Jamuna, right? There are two different things. Jamuna had some encounters with Lord Balaram on two different occasions. One occasion, she was refusing to come when Lord Balaram wanted to bathe there. And on another occasion, he was practically dragging the city of Hastinapur to the Jamuna. So, yes, in Vrindavan, when Jamuna was refusing, no, you're an intoxicated person, I don't have to listen to you. Then Lord Balaram became very angry. And Jamuna had to surrender, yes. You are the personality of Godhead. She accepted. So, yeah, the outside is very good. You can help him reach the outside. So, the ocean accepted. Yes, you can cross my waters as you like. Jahi vishrabasa avameham. To win victory, vijayotsa, jahi, to conquer, vishrabasa, the son of Vishrabasa, Ravan, who is this Ravana? Vishravasa avameham, the urine of Vishravasa Muni. Huh? That's how he's referred to here. Vishravasa avameham. Srila Prabhupada points out that the seed of the sun and the urine both come from the same channel. So if the sun is not a devotee of the Lord, then he's no better than urine. I think Tulsidas has given a verse like that. Does anyone know it? He's played on the words putra and mutra. So if the putra is not a devotee of the Lord, then he is mutra. In this way Tulsidas says, maybe we'll find it actually. You want to do a search and see if you find that? Asidas. Do putra and mutra, see what you get. But putra, yes. And mutra? Okay, so you don't need to bang in Tulsidas, see what you get. No, he's just said the same thing. See the other one, the other hit, and see what you get. Hit list? No, he hasn't quoted the verse. But anyway, the idea is there. Someone can do the research and find that verse someplace. Tulsidas has said, so coming back to Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, one more. The arrow up there, to your right. Yep. Yes. So Vishravaso Avameha, he's the urine of his father. Unworthy son of the father. Trilokya Ravana, Avapnuhi Virapatni. You can go down a little. Yes. Ravana is the cause of crying for Trilokya, the three worlds. So, avapnuhi vira patnim. Vira, the Lord Ramchandra's pastimes take place in the mood of vira, virya. And the kshatriyas have to have that manifestation. Virya. Virya means power. We have in Latin the word for man is vir, from which we get in English virile, and in Sanskrit we get virya. So these words are all cognate. They indicate potency, heroic potency, a male potency. So Lord Ramchandra shows the example of valor, virya, heroism. He's the great, such Krishna takes the role of a great hero in the person of Lord Ramchandra. And avapnuhi vira patnim, his goal is to regain Sita from the clutches of Ravana. Badnihi seto mihate yashaso vitatyai. You can go there by your own power. But just to do something wonderful, construct a setu, a bridge, over the ocean to Lanka. Yashasha, just to expand your fame. Yashasa means fame. Gayanti digvijani vijayanam yamupetya bhupa. It's the nature of kshatriyas to talk about other kshatriyas. Soldiers will talk about a really, people who are interested in military affairs, they'll talk about a MacArthur or an Alexander or some other powerful king or hero. So the supreme kshatriya, the supreme hero, is Lord Ramchandra. He shows the example of heroism. What was his army after all? A batch of monkeys. And what kind of weapons did they have? Some clubs and monkey stuff. And on Ravana's side, they were all powerful. Kumbhakarna and such powerful demons. And armed with very sophisticated weapons. But Lord Ramchandra, with his monkeys, conquered Ravana. Conquered Ravana. Because Lord Ramchandra is all powerful. Just as at Kurukshetra, who had the greater army? Kauravas had the greater. Who had the better general? Kauravas had the better general. They had Bhishma Pitamaha. And who won? Pandavas. Jayastu Panduputranam Yasya Pakshe Janardam. They won. Why? Because they had Krishna on their side. And Krishna is always victorious. He's always victorious. Therefore he's called Achyuta. Infallible. Everyone else is fallible. They're big for some time, and then sooner or later they meet their match, or fate catches up with them. A Hitler, a Napoleon, a Stalin, or whoever they are, sooner or later they're brought down. Because they're all fallible. But the personality of Godhead is Achyuta. Infallible. So the infallible Lord, along with his monkey army, built a wonderful bridge across the Indian Ocean to Lanka. Nowadays, they say they've found remnants of that bridge, and there's a big controversy going on now because somebody wants to build something or unbuild something. For us, we're less impressed by the archaeological evidence and more impressed by the evidence of Shastra. You may or may not find broken walls and because this is what the archaeologists look for, little pieces of pottery, broken walls, coins, some graves, and so on. And from that they construct the whole civilization. So that's all right. But the real evidence is the evidence of Shastra. How do we know that Lord Ram built a bridge to Lanka? We take it on the evidence of Srimad Bhagavatam, Ramayana, authentic scriptures. We doubt that they're going to find a lot of monkey skeletons. But it doesn't mean that we're going to say, oh, then there was no monkey army. Where are the skeletons? We accept it on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam. Let the archaeologists study the bones and rocks. We'll study Srimad Bhagavatam. And we'll get our information from there. A little more? Okay. Purport. Let's see what the purport says. Okay, we talked about that. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramchandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept Lord Ramchandra as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. This was one of the things that surprised me when I first went to South India many years ago. I'd always heard that, you know, in North India the culture is kind of adulterated, Muslim influence from the Northwest, and so many years of occupation and this and that. But South India, you find the real culture, you find the real Pakka Vedic way of life. And then I went to South India and I saw that in so many ways the culture was very nice. But in so many places I saw that people were worshipping some magician as an incarnation of God. And what does that mean? That means they're fools. Anyone who's worshipping a ordinary human being as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is a fool. So here was this great bastion of Vedic culture with people worshipping a rascal as the Personality of Godhead. And what was the evidence that he's the Personality of Godhead? He can produce some ash. Any chimney sweep can produce some ash. But he's producing ash. Oh, he must be Bhagavan. More than that, he's producing some gold, so he must be Bhagavan. Any jeweler can produce some gold. The magicians know these tricks. Maybe some of you have seen some videos that show how these tricks are performed. Have you seen? I have a neat collection of videos that show how God performs his tricks. How the rascal God performs his magic tricks. So if he wants to show something, that no, it's not just that he produces ash, it's not just that he produces gold, it's that he builds hospitals. Hey, Baba, we're from Dubai. We see construction much bigger than your hospital. Huh? It's only how many stories high is the hospital? We're seeing, what is it, Burj Dubai? How many stories? 160. So which is more wonderful, your hospital or 160 stories? Even hospitals, you know, Mount Sinai Hospital in New York is, you know, still better equipped than whatever it is that you've built in India. All right, you constructed a hospital. Construct a bridge crossing the ocean to Lanka, then we'll accept you. You want to show some construction? Let's see some construction. Not this build a hospital, not just build a tower. Even if you could build a palm in the middle of the bay, we would not accept you as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You build a bridge to Lanka, then, and don't do it the ordinary way, just float some stones, okay? We don't want to see that you call Bechtel and, you know, give them a few $1 billion and then you do it. Just float some stones and make a bridge. Can you do it? Oh, all right, then alternatively, just take a hill. And again, we don't want to see cranes and, you know, bulldozers and all this. Just take your little finger and lift the hill. Certainly you can do that. Krishna did it. Why can't you do it? That they can't do. Just, you know, a little gold. A little ash. A little sleight of hand, a little magic, that they can do. And people are so foolish that they accept such a rascal as Padmanabha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And other things about that Bhagavan we won't even say. So, here, yes, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah chatva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in the material world, but attains Krishna's eternal abode. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are all transcendentally wonderful and not able to be performed by any other living being. The symptoms of the Lord, of the Lord's activities, are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. The Lord is known as Maryada Purushottama. He sets the standard for morality. We won't say anything about the moral standards of the modern imitation gods. We won't even mention their standard of morality. But Lord Ram set the ideal example of moral behavior and the exceptional example of unlimited power. That Lord Ramchandra did. So he crossed the ocean with his monkey army. You can go down, we'll just briefly look at the summary, quick. And they came to Lanka, throwing mountain peaks with trees and vegetation shaken by the monkeys. And with the help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the monkey soldiers and the Lord entered Lanka, which Hanuman had charred up, scorched before, going down. going down, 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 next verse. And then the monkeys, they had a good time, they just entered every place. Wherever you went, there were monkeys. They were in the sporting houses, the granaries, the treasuries, the palace doorways, city gates, assembly houses, palace, for every place you looked, there were monkeys. They made themselves at home, everywhere. Whoa, 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 you just went a little faster than I wanted to go. And destroying, tearing up the city. Monkeys are good at tearing things up. Yes, next. So then Ravana calls for all of his powerful leaders, finally Kumbhakarna. And Lord Ramchandra on his other side has his monkeys. Yes. So on the one side there's the Ravana's army with lances and so many things, and on the other side Lord Ramchandra and his monkeys throwing trees, mountain peaks, clubs and arrows and killing the soldiers of Ravana. Why? Because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Trying to enjoy the Lord's energy, the Ravana ruined himself. Yes, further? So Ravana gets into his airplane and he's ready to fight against Lord Ramchandra, striking Lord Ramchandra with arrows. And finally, Lord Ramchandra says to Ravana, you're the most abominable of the man-eaters. You're just like their stool. You're a dog. Because a dog steals things from the kitchen when you're out. So you're just like a dog. You kidnapped my wife, Sita Devi, when I wasn't there. So now you abominable, sinless, shameless dog, now you're going to get it. So then Lord Ramchandra fixes his arrow, aims at Ravana, releases the arrow, finished. End of Ravana. This is Ram Vijayotsava. You may think that you're able to steal the Lord's property and enjoy it for yourself, but finally the Lord will vanquish your rascal. So the great big leaders of human society who think that they can do anything and everything to appropriate God's property will finally be vanquished by the prowess of the Lord. Generally not by the Lord himself. The Lord has his material energy, which is sufficient for vanquishing the demons. He doesn't need to come himself. He can always dispose of the demons in so many different ways. They can be run over by a truck, they can be hit by lightning, they can get a stomach ulcer, they can, so many different ways that they can be knocked out of existence very easily, like twigs, the way you break a matchstick, they can be broken by the material energy. So the real reason that Lord Ram comes, or that Lord Krishna comes, is not so much Vinashaya Tradushkritam, although he does that, but it's Paracharanaya Sadhuna, to favor the sadhus. The sadhus are very eager to see the Lord. The sadhus, like, just like Hanuman, is so eager to associate with Lord Ramchandra and render service to Lord Ramchandra. That's another thing. The Lord can kill, he doesn't need anyone, he can kill Ravana single-handedly. But just to give an opportunity, all right, monkeys, let's do something. So he gives the monkeys a chance also to take part in his pastimes. That's the Lord's mercy. He can do everything himself, but he engages the monkeys also, gives them the opportunity to do some devotional service. We saw that in Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. He could do so much single-handedly. Mani Prabhu ki jai.
Hare Krishna. Thanks.
He could do everything, but he picked up some monkeys in America for spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. And with some mantric power, somehow it became successful, and Krishna consciousness movement was able to spread all over the world. It was actually Srila Prabhupada's potency, his purity, his influence, and grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But even the monkeys got the opportunity to throw a few boulders and participate in the Sankirtan movement. After all, we're thinking that we're great men, that we're very capable. But compared to the liberated souls, we're just a batch of monkeys, really. We're running around doing some mischief, breaking some things up, doing monkey business, and wasting our time, really. The monkeys, yes, just mischief makers. Although we're very proud, we've created this, we've created that, we've done this, we've done that. But actually, we're our creation, what is our creation? We've created the automobile, we've created smog. We've created great civilizations, we've created weapons that kill millions of people. We've found different ways to make the world more hellish, more bitter in the name of progress. For every little advancement, something, oh, we've created new medicine, we've created this, that. But for every advancement of that sort, we create something else that causes destruction and trouble to the world. So Lord Ramchandra, or Krishna, comes, sambhavami yuge yuge, dharma samsthapana, to reestablish the principles of dharma. Dharma doesn't mean just some moral principles, some religious principles. It's not that Lord Ramchandra comes to push Hinduism, and then someone else comes to push Islam, and someone else comes to push Judaism, and someone else comes to push Christianity. That's not the Lord's purpose, to foster different kinds of sectarian concepts in the bodily notion of life. I'm Christian, I'm Hindu, I'm Muslim. So this is my land, this is my land, this is my land. We're great, no, we're great. That's not dharma. Dharma is not simply a set of rituals or a set of traditions. Dharma ultimately means full engagement in the service of the Lord. That's the actual Sanatan Dharma. Full engagement in the devotional service of the personality of Godhead. So to reestablish, first of all, to serve a personality of Godhead, there has to be a personality of Godhead. We have to have some understanding of the personality of Godhead, not something impersonal or void. So that personality of Godhead comes, himself, here I am, shows himself, performs wonderful activities, impossible for any cheap incarnation to imitate, and he engages the living beings in his service. He revives the service spirit of the lost souls of this world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed the same characteristic. Who's seen the Sadbhuj Murti of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Six-armed form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was at Puri, showed this form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great scholar. And he was very skeptical also. He wasn't very quick to accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Bhagavan. He wasn't sentimental about it at all. But finally he was persuaded, he was convinced by seeing the characteristics of the Lord. And finally the Lord revealed to him this Sadbhuj Murti. In two arms, the Lord is carrying the danda and kamandalu of a sannyasi. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes as a sannyasi. So he was carrying the danda and the water pot. And in another two arms, he was holding the flute. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So two arms were holding the flute, and then the other two arms, he's holding the bow and arrow of Lord Ramchandra. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disclosed to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that he was the same personality of Godhead who'd appeared as Krishna, who'd appeared as Lord Ramchandra. Now in the Kali Yuga, that same personality of Godhead has appeared as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sangopangastra Parshadam. In his incarnation as Lord Ramchandra, his weapon is the bow. But and his business is killing the demons like Ravana. But in the Kali Yuga, the Lord's weapon is his personal beauty. The Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his golden form is very attractive. And it counteracts the effects of Maya when we become attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Or his weapons, we can say his associates are also his weapons. Not Shankha Chakra Gada Padma. There's no Gada or Chakra. But rather, his Sankirtan associates, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Gadadhara Shivas, and other associates, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Adi, Gaurabhaktivinoda. Ramchandra Bhagavan appears in the Kali Yuga, Karuna Vatirna Kala, in the merciful form of Lord Chaitanya. There's no killing. He just kills the demonic propensities of the conditioned souls and gives them the opportunity to take to pure devotional service. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. We have Urmila Mataji here. Is she going to tell us something?
Presentation.
Good.
And do I ever know?
Is that possible? Of course, because I got 40 hours of travel.
Where have you been?
I'm New Zealand.
You went to New Zealand and back?
Something like a daily 8-hour stopover in Dublin and Singapore and New Zealand.
Excuse me, Mother. Can I take your mic? You don't mind?
I don't mind.